Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Welcome, everybody, to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
I'm DJ.
And this week is kind of a Patreon patron-requested episode. Our patron friend Ty asked us online over on Patreon what Dragon Quest games did we think deserve the kind of FF7 remake, FF7 rebirth treatment to get that kind of scale of a remake, just in terms of graphics and maybe even just content added and that kind of stuff. And So I answered him briefly over there, but we were like, hey, this could be a good topic for a podcast episode because there are a lot of good Dragon Quest games, and everybody likes remakes, right?
Yeah, and apparently that's all people like these days.
So anyway, it seemed like a good topic for discussion right now. Before we start talking about that, though, no secret that you and I were both disappointed with FF7 Rebirth. I would say I'm disappointed. I would say you're like vicious about it.
Yeah, I'm just so disappointed. I'm disappointed to the point where I'm angry about it.
Have you played it anymore?
No, I haven't. I haven't been able to bring myself to even log on.
Okay.
To even start it up. I just don't care.
I went and decided to give it the old college try again.
Yeah.
One day when I had some free time, and I got just past the spot I was at already was like the coral region, and that's where I'd kind of given up on. And I went through, there was like a little minecart mini game, and then you get to the gold saucer, which I know is going to be filled with mini games, and I just didn't have it in me, so I quit again, which makes me sad. And I think that's kind of, I don't mean this to be a hate on FF7 Rebirth episode or anything, but it kind of dawned on me that like that's a real bummer that like the what made the gold saucer like so great in the original was like that it felt so different from the rest of the game, and you could go there and do those mini games and have fun. But Rebirth is just that. So like gold saucer, I got to the gold saucer, which I was looking forward to, and it wasn't like, yay, some fun goofy mini games. I was like, oh no, more fun goofy mini games.
Yep. And I didn't get there, and that was actually one of the reasons that I didn't, was because of the knowing that was coming very soon, that there would be that many other mini games that would almost, really, I shouldn't even say almost, that would be required.
Yeah. And so I quit again, but it did make me sad because I really did like Gold Saucer from the original, you know, going through and like doing the chocobo racing, and just, I mean, so much of the mini games from Gold Saucer were kind of tied to a lot of the kind of extra in game content you could do for Materia, Knights of the Round, and
Knights of the Round to get it, or was it? Yeah, that was chocobo breeding. So
yeah. I don't know. I spent a lot of time there, and like in when they added the Gold Saucer to FF14, like I had so much fun going around the gold saucer in FF14 and, you know, from the lottery there to like triple triad when that was new and like the latest craze in FF14, like there's just like the gold saucer is fun to me. And so I was a little bummed out because I just didn't feel up to it. And that's been a while now and I quit. So like I said last week or whenever we were talking about it again, like I guess it's been a couple weeks. Like, I'm sure I'll go back and beat this game eventually. It's just not really doing it for me at all right now. Like, I need mm-hmm. to detox, I think, from mini games, mm-hmm. and then I think I'll feel better in, like,
yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty good way of putting it, is having to detox from it. I got to get the vacuuming out of my system that was going on. But yeah, it's I loved in Final Fantasy 14. I loved when they introduced the Golden Saucer. I had such a good time going and playing all of the games there. And then this one, because it had set up so many mini games to begin with, that it just seemed so overwhelming and boring in comparison.
So, Dragon Quest games.
Right.
All right. So let's define FF7 remake treatment here from the get-go.
Right.
I would assume that means big graphical updates, added content, whether it's mini games, hopefully not too many. But I mean, the right amount of mini games are really fun. Dragon Quest XI had mini games and they were really fun, like the casino stuff I adore. So let's say add some content, graphics look modern, and, you know, like, it would look good on a PS5 or Series X, PC, mm-hmm. whatever. Like, it would look very up to date, modern. Let's say there's some new, you know, new soundtracks or remixed music and just all those kind of updates that you would expect. So let's say that's what the remake treatment is, the FF7 remake treatment. Because personally, I wouldn't want any DQ game to be divided up the way FF7 is.
No, it's just it's too much. I thought it was going to be too much from the very, very beginning when they announced it. But it's, you know, at least each game, and I'm assuming that Rebirth feels this way as you get further into it, that the first game for me at least felt like a complete story that was really being told. Like, even though it cut off at the end of Midgard, like, as you were leaving, it still felt like there was an arc there going on, where I don't know if Rebirth has that same feeling, if it is just kind of Pirates of the Caribbean 2, where it just kind of cuts off.
Yeah, I know where Rebirth ends, and I mean, there is definitely a, you know, an ending there, I think. So yeah, take that how you will. I want to be vague because the game hasn't been out that long, and it's long, so
right.
I don't want to
yeah.
spoil it for people. I guess the only, with that being said, I think that if you have to say, Austin, BJ, no, you have to divide a Dragon Quest game up into three parts for a remake, a big remake. Dragon Quest V is the obvious choice there because it's already divided up into three parts, really.
Yeah.
And so,
exactly. That's what I was thinking. I was like, there are very clear places that you would be able to make this into three separate games.
Yeah. And so you could do, you know, you could do all the kid stuff as the first game. Then you could do the young adulthood and all of that stuff as the second game. And then the third is like, you're not stone anymore and doing all the end game things with it. So mm-hmm. you could really, you could really do a lot there, I think. And personally, I love the childhood section of DQ5.
Right.
You know, I know I harp on the, like, Haunted Mansion segment and stuff, the up to 10 towers.
Yeah.
section. And, like, it's, like, I really like those parts. And your story didn't touch on that really very much at all. Like, it kind of, it got onto the real meat of the game, really, and the meat that people care most about, you know, like the falling in love stuff and having a family and all that. And all of that is great, but I really do love the child section of DQ5. But at the same time, with that being said, it's like, yeah, that would be an obvious one to be split up, but, like, at the end of the day, I'd rather just have it be one cohesive game that looks really pretty and
yeah.
is just DQ5 again. But what about you? Any others that really jump out at you for...
Four seems like it would be a good one to split up in terms of storyline. That four could be very, very easily divided up into, you know, you gather your party, at least into two parts, where you gather your party, you go through the kind of vignettes at the beginning, and then you have the primary adventure in number two, where it ends with everybody getting together and banding together for the greater good and to defeat sorrow that way.
I think 4 also has a good cast going for it. It's kind of like people really like FF7's cast, and so mm-hmm. I think that that's a good one. I guess my problem with 4 is that, like, because 4 is split up so much already by, like, characters for the first, like, right, 4 yeah. chapters, that I just, like, I my mind at least has a hard time grasping exactly how that could be split up if you were doing it. And I guess the two-parter, like you suggested, would be the way to go, but I don't know. I still like it better as one game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that splitting games into multiple parts is a weird choice in terms of telling story. I've never liked it when movies do it, really, either. But I understand why they would do it. But for 7, it feels almost like, especially as bloated as 7 Rebirth feels, that I don't want that to happen to a DQ game. I would even see them doing this on 8, just because, you know, the same way that 7 is broken up, and the same way that 7 is this fan favorite, absolutely do it to 8 is what I think would actually happen. If anything were to get remade in terms of Dragon Quest games, I'm almost certain that it would be 8, you know, in terms of the full-on graphical remake, everything. Not like the HD 2D of 3, where they're remaking it, but it's still kind of fundamentally the same game.
Yeah.
I think if they're going to do a completely different style on everything, it would definitely be 8.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking, too. If they... FF... or DQ8 seems like the one that would get the FF7 treatment, just because, like, Dragon Quest 8 is kind of the... it's the Final Fantasy 7 of Dragon Quest. So mm-hmm. I can see that being a thing, too, and I think that story kind of does lend itself a bit toward having acts that would be easy to split up into 3. Where you could, like, I could almost see them ending the first act even with not Rapthorn, Dalmagus, and everything, with that being mm-hmm. and then doing the funnier sections where Sir Leopold and the church and all that stuff, and then possess Jessica and saving all the big stuff for the end there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like, I can see that happening. But I don't know. Let's say they don't do... it's just a remake in general. Like, they're not going to split it up into 3 parts or anything. Which one of these games would you most like to be remade?
Just most like to out of just what I want to play?
Yeah, like say at Dragon Quest Day, they announce, like, this Dragon Quest game has a remake, and it's coming out December 2024.
9. Straight up. 9. If they were to remake anything and get it, like, fully expanded, give it more, 9 would definitely be my choice.
Yeah, I think 9 would be my choice as well. I think that the 7 remake on 3DS is really good, and I think I think the remakes that are on the DS of the Zenithia trilogy are really solid, and they kind of, like, I guess every game already has a remake is on a new system except for 9, and I get, you know, 3DS discontinued, whatever, DQ8, DQ7 are hard to find now, Zenithia trilogy is much cheaper on mobile, but 9 is just kind of stuck over there on the DS right now, and mm-hmm. so I would love to see it. I mean, we have a great Nintendo handheld console right now that is immensely popular.
It's like, why not?
Yeah.
Although, I mean, I think that is why we're getting the HD 2D of 3, is for that same thing, and I'm hoping that the remake on it is kind of a test to see how that sort of thing will work out for other games, maybe, like, to test the waters to see if there's a market for it. That I would love for that to be the case. But yeah, I mean, in terms of a complete and total, like, revamp, give me 9. I mean, and not only just because it's the only game that hasn't had a substantial remake in the past, I think that it and the story that it tells really can be expanded enough with the Celestrians, and just to make it a very interesting, deeper story Though I do hope that if there ever is something like this and they ever decide to do it, that they don't go the Final Fantasy VII Remake route of kind of juxtaposing a new story alongside a second with changes. I hope that they either just do that, do a new type story, or stick kind of to the old beats. Like, I'm not sure how I feel about the longer I'm separated from Seven Remake. I'm not sure how I feel about the
Whispers.
Yeah, I couldn't think of the name of them.
Yeah. Okay, that was actually going to be my next question. Is there any Dragon Quest games you feel like should have that kind of... They get the FF7 Remake treatment in that they're like... Maybe not the concept of Whispers, but like Whispers, you know? But also, I'm like... We kind of got that to a certain extent with 11. I mean, you went through and there's a lot of callbacks to like other classic DQ games. There's like a ton of little Easter eggs and callbacks and stuff that echo back to to old Dragon Quest games. And then, you know, they have the whole twist at the very end with post credits and DQ3 and stuff. And it's just like that kind of sort of counts, right? I mean, the spirits of lost time are kind of whispers if you really want to get into it.
If you really think about it, yeah, they could be.
Yeah.
And then you also have the, you also have Seven, that if they were going to do it with something, I would hope it's Seven. Because I want a DQ7 where Kiefer gets to be play a more major part.
Yeah, I don't know though, but that's like such a, that's such a big moment in DQ7. Like, and... Honestly, that's one of the bigger moments in like any Dragon Quest game is when Kiefer leaves your party for good, and then like finding his grave, and also learning like, you know, that Ash is like his descendant, and then at the very end, whenever you read his note, right before the credits roll, it's just like, I don't know. Kind of think it's perfect just the way it is. And I think that's the problem with a lot of the whole Dragon Quest remake speculation is that I'm too close to it all, because I'm just like, there's so much that's so perfect about each one that I'm just like, it's like if somebody remade, like, I don't know, what's a classical movie? It's A Wonderful Life, which they're probably remaking.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, it's like, it's probably in the works right now. But... There's some things that I just don't think need to be remade. Seven's also just so big already. It's like, does it really need to be expanded? Like, it's...
Maybe they would be able to focus in on, if they were to do a full remake like that, and because it's so big, and because the remake that they did of the PS1 version of Dragon Warrior 7, if they... Well, at least in the US. That... If they were to do it again, they might be able to focus it in on fewer islands, let the game focus in on more of the story than the long quest just for the long quest's sake, without having the extraneous islands that don't necessarily lead into anything other than it just being there.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. All this being said, if they announce, like, tomorrow, like, hey, we're... remaking all of these games, staying true to what they are. We're not really changing anything, but we're making them in like the DQ11 engine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not going to complain about it.
I'd be like, heck yeah, let's do this.
I would be too. I'd rub my hands together and be like, hot dog.
That would be me. Yeah. And then you would call me and be like, dude, guess what I just did?
I just hot dogged.
And I would be like, I don't think we need to be talking about that. It's kind of personal.
That's too much information.
It's like, that's the kind of thing that would happen. It'd be like, yeah, any of these. Even like DQ1 and 2, which actually probably deserve it more than other ones if we're really digging into it.
Because you could do like quality of life stuff.
Yeah, quality of life stuff, and to expand the actual narrative within Dragon Quest itself. That if you were to do a DQ1 remake where you ended up actually gathering somewhat of a party, that it was able to expand more on Erdrick and the descendancy, the kind of legend there, Like, it would be able to have Dragon Lord be a lot more of a threat and a real villain as opposed to this archetype. That, yeah, I could see it making a really good expansion to get the remake treatment. That would be one I would be all about. And I mean, I know kind of it could fall into the category of Stranger of Fate, I think is the name of it, the Final Fantasy One remake that Nomura did. And
Stranger of Paradise.
Of Paradise, yeah, that's it. Stranger of Paradise, that's all about chaos. I don't know if it would... That's what I would be afraid of happening, but I think they could really give it a 7 remake style upgrade that would enhance the entire series.
Yeah, the more you say that...
In terms of at least lore, like canonical lore that would be able to be included in one that wouldn't be able to be put anywhere else in a remake.
Yeah, the more you say that, I'm like, yeah, 1 and 2 could be really good choices because, I mean, number 1, picture those games in like a Dragon Quest XI engine or better.
Better at this point, yeah.
Picture like the Sandland engine. You could have cutscenes, you could have voice acting, you could really expand on the story. You could do so much. And even if one just stuck with one protagonist again and kind of had more of like an FF16 vibe where you're just like concerned with one person, I'd still be fine with that. I loved FF16 and I love Dragon Quest One. Like, I'm fine with one person.
Yeah, I loved that about 16, actually. That was one of my favorite things, is not having to deal with a party. Was being able to simply play the game, use my abilities, and have combat. That I had characters that were with me. I had characters who would, you know, fight alongside, but I was responsible for the one person and upgrading, where it was less overwhelming in some ways that way because of that.
Yeah.
That I think sometimes having 7 remake, or 7 rebirth, that's something that I don't enjoy. Is having to, and it may be just me in the mood that I'm in while I'm playing this, is having the party from the very beginning and have to deal with materia, skill upgrades, folios, weapons, and making sure that everything is laid out correctly. For some reason, from the very beginning of it, it felt a little overwhelming that they threw all of these systems at me, that they didn't ease me in. And it's probably because it was the second in a series. But at the same time, that was also one where it was like, I don't care who's in my party. Let's just fight things. And I just kind of threw things in. Like, did you do that? Was that just something where I was like, yeah, I gotta, like, I'm overwhelmed, but other people, like maybe you were didn't even consider like having the multiple people in your party as a hindrance at the beginning.
No, yeah, it didn't really bother me. I didn't think it really had. I thought the way that it was presented was a little confusing at the beginning, but like the actual systems didn't feel like any more than just like your average RPG has in terms of like character upgrades. And it could also be that Grand Blue Fantasy Relink was like the big RPG I played before this one, I think. And like it has more to do, I feel like, in terms of character upgrades and farming for materials to get upgrades and stuff like that. And it's more of like a level 5 approach, you know, where like you need like you craft these materials and then you craft them into your abilities or whatever.
Right.
I wasn't overwhelmed by it, but
I shouldn't say overwhelmed. It was almost because it wasn't overwhelming. I guess is the wrong word. It was a little too much too soon. Where I was like, I want to play the game. I want to experiment with this system, but instead I have all the systems that I have to care about instead of being able to just get in to the game itself.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't, that didn't jump out at me. I actually loved FF7 Rebirth for a good while. Like when I first started playing it, I was like the start of it with Zack and the Nibelheim section and all that.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, this still feels more like remake, which I didn't enjoy as much, but I'll be excited once it gets to open world. And then once it was more open world, like I had a blast, and then I started really getting tired of mini games. I mean, it really was just purely mini game burnout on my part.
Yeah. Like I said, Jennifer made fun of it at the very beginning. I know I'd said that where she was like, are you vacuuming? And I was like, yeah, I guess I am. That's what I'm doing. This is that became weird. And
yeah.
But the more I've thought about that has actually been one of my points of contention with the game, especially.
Which is weird because Remake had way more of that stuff. And
I don't remember it. Like, that's weird. Like, I really don't remember that in Remake because it's been a while.
That's why I hated Remake so much, was because it had so much of that kind of stuff in it. The just kind of, like, mindless, busy little movements and busy work like that. Whereas, like, they tried to... I don't think you've ever played The Last of Us, but, like, I really like that game.
I watched you play it.
But they tried to... They tried to kind of like The Last of Us FF7, where it was just like, you're walking, you're talking, you slow down, oh, you drag this over here, and you watch the full animation of it, and you do all this stuff, which is fine, and I like The Last of Us, but for like an RPG, like I want to play an RPG, and I want to run around, and I want to do stupid stuff, but within reason. I don't want to just run around and just do stupid stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess I've been proven wrong now with this, but... But, you know, I mean, and it's not... It's just like there is the right amount. Like Dragon Quest XI has a lot of mini games. Like there's the crossbow mini game that I still am sad that they took out of the 11S version because I liked doing that. But that was in the vanilla version of DQ11, the crossbow mini game. There was that. There was, you know, just filling up the book and having all the enemies in every area checked off, where I knew that I defeated at least one of every enemy, and even the rare ones. And then you get to the casino and you do that kind of stuff. Like there's mini games galore in that. And I don't mind it. If I had gotten to Golden Saucer and just gotten stuck doing mini games for a long time and everything, I would have been fine. It's just, I don't know. It just didn't work for me this time. So,
and yeah, it's the, it's totally the remake or the mini games and the super open world that got me.
So what about something that I don't think we've touched on in this episode, but maybe ever. So Dragon Quest III hasn't really come up in this discussion because we know we're getting DQ3 Remake on Switch, and it's in the like 2D HD 2D engine.
Yeah.
I don't think it's any secret that I don't just love that art style. Like I feel like it's very overused. Like I gotta admit, like I would like DQ3 to get this kind of treatment, if I'm being totally honest. Like I feel like the HD 2D treatment of DQ3 is kind of like a cop out, where I would have much rather have gotten it in the to where it looked like DQ11. You know, like at the end of DQ11 when your mom comes in to wake Erdrick up, and you
your
see
mom it, comes in,
you see how it looks, hot dog, and you see how it looks. Like, it looks really pretty in there, and I would have loved to have seen Dragon Quest III in that kind of capacity, where it looks like DQ11, but you're running around to Japan and to all those places, and you're doing all these fun things in DQ3, and you're fighting Robin Hood and stuff like that, but it looks like DQ11. Like, I feel a little short-changed, I guess, with the 2D HD thing. Like, it doesn't seem like it's the full remake treatment. And I think part of that is because, like, it's kind of what they do with, you know, they did it with Live Alive and they did it with Star Ocean, Second Story, got that kind of look recently, where it almost feels like, oh, we don't want to invest a lot of money in remaking a game. This is kind of an inexpensive way to do it, and the kids love it. So let's just throw it out like this. Whereas, and I'm not trying to say that there's not, like, love and attention that goes into those, but... I'm just like, I know I would have preferred a much more modern looking remake for DQ3.
And
that's my answer.
And I like that art style.
Like, I wish DQ3 got the FF7 remake treatment.
I mean, and I 100% understand that. Like, if they're going to do a remake, that would be a really good one to do. I think more than anything, I'm happy with the art style because I do like that kind of art style, but a lot more than you do. But I think it's a monetary thing because of them having 12 in development. Although it is weird that they're doing it with that because they do have engines like the Monsters engine that they used for Dark Prince and the Treasures engine and everything. They do have budget. I hate to say budget, but they have budget engines that aren't like top of the line DQ11S, DQ12 that they could have used for that. And I don't know what that means in terms of game budget or, you know, how they're gonna market it. And maybe it's just solely because it was an NES game with the nostalgia factor on this. But,
yeah,
you know, I think you're right in that there were lost opportunities in that regard.
I don't know. hope that the next DQ remake we get will actually be like an actual remake, like a full modern graphics kind of remake. Would be really awesome.
That would be really cool.
Where it's not the we have Dragon Quest XI at home graphics. That, don't get me wrong, look fine for DQ Monsters and Treasures, but also not just the 2D HD thing, but is like a, you know, built from the ground up 3D models looks. It, when you see it, it looks like it came out on a like current gen or even next gen console, you know?
Yeah.
Like I want it to look pretty. I want it to look like Dragon Quest XI did when it was new, and I want it to look like FF7 Rebirth does now, and I want it to look like Sandland does right now. And
man, I was so happy whenever I saw DQ11 at first. It was so pretty whenever you got me to play it, and it was right off of Ni No Kuni 2, that really, it looking like that, really got me back into RPGs more. Ni No Kuni and DQ11. So yeah, I mean, if it were that kind of thing, I'd still be down for it.
Yeah.
Heck, if they use the DQ11S engine for it, go right ahead. Yeah. I mean, again, things they already have written and able to use.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you guys for listening to this week's episode. Let us know what Dragon Quest games you would love to see getting the kind of remake treatment in any capacity of remakes. If you want to talk to us, you can find us over on Twitter or Blue Sky at Dragon Quest FM. You can also find me at those places at Dragon Quaston. And a huge shout out to all of our Patreon patrons and to Ty for giving us this idea.
Yeah, really appreciate you guys. I'm on Twitter and Threads at Professor Beej. And like you said, patreon.com/DragonQuestFM.
Thanks. We'll see you next week.
Bye.